Welcome Home, a podcast for veterans, about veterans, by veterans, is a project of Willing Warriors and the Warrior Retreat at Bull Run.
Good morning. I'm Larry Ziliax, your host, Director of Culinary Services here at the Warrior Retreat at Bull Run. And today our guest is Lieutenant Colonel Raymond Wilson. He is with the Soldier for Life program, the Army Soldier for Life program, which I've been wanting to get him on as a guest ever since he brought some of his team out to visit the Warrior Retreat and found out about his program. And it's just very interesting to me, mainly because when I was in the Air Force, but I think all branches were pretty similar at that time. Back in 83, when you got out, you got out. And there was no transitioning. There was, hey, okay, see ya. And this program, the Soldier for Life program, just fascinates me. So, Colonel, welcome to the podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk with us today. And if you would, just give us a little bit of background on your time in the Army and how you came to be with the program.
First of all, thanks for having me on and allowing the opportunity to talk about, one, the Army, and two, what the Army is doing with the Soldier for Life program. And as you mentioned, the opportunity we had to come visit you, the team, and the facilities was a true privilege to see the work and the resources that are being done to provide help, assistance, and a community to really service members, veterans, and families. But to the question, to really, I actually joined the Army in 1994 as a reservist, and I joined to be a truck driver. Mm-hmm. Both my parents retired from the military, and I didn't really want to do it full time, have some stability and settle down and have some roots. But, you know, one thing I like to talk about in the military, and although I did not know it at the time, is the tremendous, you know, opportunities that are available, you know, to service members, you know, once they join. So in my case, I was in the reserves for a little over 10 years, and then I had an opportunity to receive a commission. And then there was another opportunity to go active duty. The list just keeps going on and on. So although this was not my plan, and quite frankly, I don't know that I had a plan at 17 or 18, but the opportunities that, you know, have been afforded to me, you know, we talk about travel all the time, but, you know, really for me, one of the best gifts of the military is it's the people. It's the people you meet along the way. Some of them, you know, will remain in contact and, you know, friends for the rest of your lives. You know, others are just kind of, you know, short time, but, you know, that opportunity to meet people and develop, you know, relationships. And the other thing, it's, you know, it's provided for my family and I. So, overall, would not change a thing. You know, I think it's important, and we talk about this, you know, within our program quite a bit. We have to tell our positive Army story for others to, you know, hear it and, you know, kind of be introduced to some of the opportunities that are available that, you know, they may not be aware of. Mm-hmm. And really, in today's, you know, in our society today, if you don't have, you know, a family member or friend or live around a military installation, your exposure, you know, to any service, you know, may not be what it could have been, or you may not be introduced to those opportunities. How I got here today, I think we're all aware, you know, every two or three years, you're up for a new assignment. So this opportunity came available with the Army Soldier for Life program. You know, I was afforded the opportunity to move here, PCS here, and hit the ground running. And that's been about a year and a half ago.
Looking at the program itself, tell us the concept behind it. What was the Army thinking when they developed the program?
Yeah, so we'll take you back to 2011, 2012 timeframe, and that's when the program, you know, was stood up and initiated. And at the time, it was a direct report to the Chief of Staff of the Army, and the intent of the program was to combat the veteran unemployment rate at the time. Initially, this program, reported directly to the chief of staff, and it was, the eyes and ears, as it was then, it is today, were focused on, travel, so traveling within, our specific areas or our specific functions, getting out to the communities, seeing what resources are available, engage with community leaders, identify best practices. And if there, are some friction points, start that conversation and engage and see how we can break down some of those barriers. So since 2012, it's kind of moved around a couple of different times, but most recently within the past year and a half or so, program now lies under TRADOC, Training Doctor in Command, which is headquartered out of Fort Eustis, Virginia. So really now the program is focused. There's some pillars that, we like to talk about that we're focused on. But overall, it's the mindset. So TRADOC is currently in charge of the assessments, so recruitment and bringing soldiers in. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that, from the very first handshake through military honors, you're a soldier for life. And yes, you absolutely have the opportunity to serve while you're in uniform. But once you take that uniform off, there's still numerous opportunities that, individuals can do, volunteering at a local organization. It could be as simply as telling your Army story and the opportunities that were afforded to you to, chance encounters or individuals in the neighborhood. They're teaching JROTC. There's many opportunities. So that's kind of the foundation of where we're at, the mission of the program currently. One thing I would like to add is a few years back, there was one acronym that encompassed two programs. And I'm sure there'll be some listeners familiar with the acronym SFL-TAC. That is no longer the acronym that we use. And they're two separate programs under two separate commands. So as I mentioned, Soldier for Life is under TRADOC, and we're an outreach advocacy program that connects and engages with government and non-government organizations that support soldiers, veterans, and family members. Mm-hmm. And when I say soldiers, I mean, we can replace that with service members. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's an Army program. That's the intended audience. But when we're out, at events and we're speaking, the programs that are available to the Army are the exact same programs and organizations that are available to any service member.
Mm-hmm. When we look at some of these pillars that you're talking about, what are the core pillars of the program? I see from the webpage we've got employment assistance, educational programs, health and wellness, and retirement planning, which is a huge change. Like I said, from when I was in, there was no transitioning assistance. There was no preparing for what the life after the Army or the branch of service you were with was going to be like. If you could just touch on each one of these pillars briefly and just give us an overview, what a soldier would find with each of these.
Before I jump into that, I left out the second part of the previous answer.
Okay.
So if I can just go back a minute. So SFL-TAP, I've talked already about Soldier for Life, but the second part of that is TAP, which is the actual Transition Assistance Program.
Okay.
And that program is under HRC, Human Resources Command, out of Fort Knox. Mm. So it used to be synonymous, it used to be tied together, but now they're really two separate entities. So TAP, if we're not familiar with it, that's the actual program that service members partake in up to 12 months prior to their transition. Mm. So there's classes, there's events, briefings, workshops that transitioning service members, some are voluntary and then others are, they're mandatory that individuals go through this. And to your point, Larry, when you said, hey, you were kind of in one day, the next day, you were out, you had a DD-214 and you were, trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
The Army and the military in general, has absolutely gone away from that. The transition of service members is extremely important. And I'll kind of lay out, you know, why it's important, if that's okay. And then I'll jump into these pillars that we focus on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So really, we'll use last year's data. And I like to use this as the why. Like, why is this important? And why do we have this? And why are we doing this? So for FY23, and this is solely for the Army, over 130,000 individuals transitioned from the Army last year. And that's all three components. So that's active duty, guard, and that's and reserves. So we'll kind of drill down here a little bit. And so of that 130 plus thousand, you know, approximately 60,000 of those individuals were active duty. And then those of that 60,000 number, 80% of those individuals fall into three categories. These rough categories. They're 18 to 34 years old. They're E1 to E6, and they have 1 to 10 years of experience. So that transition is extremely important for those individuals because they're not retiring. You know, they're absolutely looking for that next step in their career. And, you know, when we transition, you know, a lot of times it's just not ourselves, right? There's a spouse, there's kids, there's family members, extended family, whatever that is. So, you know, getting the transition rights and to continue to improve on that and, you know, affording and allowing transition to service members the opportunities, you know, to set them up for success the best that we possibly can. So then with the transition, you know, program, they're going through classes such as, you know, employment, education, health and wellness, that type of stuff. So so you have the TAP is one entity, one approach, and that's getting the individual successfully transitioned from the military. And then you have Soldier for Life. So Soldier for Life, the Soldier for Life program, you know, does not specifically assist an individual transitioning from the military. It's not like you come to Soldier for Life, you complete some classes, and then your paperwork is checked off on. And really the idea and the mentality of our program, the Soldier for Life program, is once again, as soon as you get in the military, you're made aware of opportunities while you're in the military programs, you know, to help you start thinking through that process upon the transition. And I like to tell, you know, when I'm talking, that the transition isn't just, you know, the last 12 months of your contract or, you know, your service obligation. It's really the life of your service as you build upon that and prepare to exit. So then to kind of round out your question, Soldier for Life really has four, we call them, you know, functional areas or pillars that we focus on. And there's a team over each one of these areas. It's employment, education, health and wellness. And then the fourth one we throw in there is community outreach. So that is our efforts. As I mentioned, there's a team over each one of those areas. And then in addition to that, we're broken down into four regions. So, specifically, I have responsibilities for the West and the Northeast.
And just so our listeners are clear, too, this is not a physical place. It's not like on an Army base that it's a place where you go to the Soldier of Life building or anything like this. This is a program that is built around resources and getting the word out to Army soldiers, what's available for them through their career, but then on beyond their career, however long that would be. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, that's absolutely accurate. And then Larry, if I can, I'll just kind of expand upon, the pillars and
yeah,
you're absolutely right when you said, resources that we advocate for or, you know, educate about. So, you know, the Soldier for Life program is not the proponent of any program or any service, right? So, our program cannot assist you, you know, with the actual benefit of, you know, education or food insecurities or, you know, homelessness, or, you know, provide you employment. But what we can do and what we do do is we help wade through the sea of goodwill. So there's a vast amount of organizations, you know, with a mission that entails supporting soldiers, veterans, and family members.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to say, if you know, if me after, you know, 20 something years in the military and kind of where I'm at today, if I have a tough time navigating that, how does Private Wilson, you know,
yeah,
understand, hey, this is a program, you know, that may be beneficial, and maybe we, you know, maybe this other one's, you know, not quite right for you at this particular time.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about education, you know, we like to talk quite a bit about one, the Army resources that are available. So, you know, things like Army Ignited, the COOL program, and then there's some other organizations, you know, not tied to the Army, Student Veterans, you know, of America, and then, you know, there's a lot of universities out there that are veteran friendly and have you know, programs that support you know, veteran students. You know, but a couple that just come to my mind is Syracuse University, Purdue, you know, Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are three, and I get some feedback that I didn't list, you know, all these other ones. But the point is, it's best practices, kind of the part of the country, and, you know, for education, you know, we like to just identify that along with, you know, other government and non-government programs that are available. When it comes to employment, you know, there are DOD and, you know, Army specific programs that we talk quite a bit about, and, you know, DOD SkillBridge.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar, it's essentially an internship opportunity that an individual can partake in, you know, for a specific amount of time prior to their transition.
Mm-hmm.
The Army has a career skill program, which is very similar to the DOD SkillBridge. It's internships, and there's a cohort, you know, kind of environment.
Uh-huh.
The Army has a PACE program, stands for Partnership for Your Success. The highlight of that program is that upon a transitioning service member, they can choose from a list of companies in the area that they're transitioning to, up to five, that'll guarantee them an interview. So it doesn't guarantee them the job, but it guarantees them, you know, the interview. And really, that's, you know, so when we're talking quite a bit about, you know, service members and the services that are available to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, but in this case, this is an opportunity for the PACE program, and then Soldier for Life, you know, when we're out talking to organizations that, hey, like, did you know about this? And maybe this is an opportunity that your company, you know, may want to partake in, you know, recruit military, hiring our heroes.
Yeah.
There's a very vast military network on LinkedIn, you know, that we like to promote. And, you know, actually LinkedIn is one of the strongest ways that we have to communicate, you know, our message and promote the message of others, you know, with, about 100,000, you know, connections.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the last pillar, or the third pillar that, you know, I mentioned was health and wellness. So, you know, we're really, as in the active duty Army, H2F, health and holistic fitness. You know, it's the physical part, but it's also, you know, the mental,
mm-hmm.
Emotional, you know, spiritual aspect of it. I mean, there's organizations like, AWP, American Warrior Partnership,
right.
The Cohen Network, you know, is one that I like to talk about quite a bit, that provides social work or, you know, counseling services to individuals. And once again, like I'm rattling off two or three, but, and then the last thing I'll highlight is, you know, the community outreach. So, you know, I mentioned travel, like that's our main job and our main focus. Or a focus, you know, of ours, and that's to go out in the communities, connect and engage, you know, with veterans, soldiers, and families. It really varies quite a bit throughout the country. You know, so for example, like if you're in the Northeast, you know, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire type areas where, you know, Guard and Reserve really strong and robust, but, you know, not an active duty unit or base, you know, close by. And then, you know, you kind of, you go out west and it's, you know, a different environment as it, you know, would be in the South or the Midwest. So it's really, you know, getting out, understanding the need and being able to put resources against that.
Yeah. So I've got to say that I see the real value in the program is delivering resources that are qualified resources that, you know, when you go out, like you say, and you just get on Google and you do a search and you go, you know, I need help with this, you get a million responses and they all have fancy websites. They all look pretty good. But to have your program vet particular organizations so that a soldier or a veteran can go right to your webpage and say, okay, I need help for this, or a spouse or military spouse, I'm interested in finding out about education. Those resources are right there on the webpage for them. They're vetted. You know, they don't have to worry that they're going to be caught up in some sort of scam or waste their time. The Army, thank goodness, has done the work for them. I also wonder about how this helps with retention. I know that, Ben, you mentioned that there were about 60,000 service members who separated from the Army in 2023. I also know that I think recruiting was down, and I think the Army gained about 55,000 recruits. So there's a negative number there, which is across the board in all services. Retention is an issue. Recruiting is an issue. But I got to think that this program has to contribute to keeping some of those soldiers from separating. Do you have any sense of that?
I do have a sense of it, but it's just a sense. So we're not able to
quantify
or have data. But, you know, what we do know is that there's a growing civ-mil divide, right? So there's a growing, you know, partnership or understanding of individual military, of what's going on in the civilian world, and then civilian world, you know, understanding, you know, military, the dynamics of that. So, you know, I think, and this is just Ray Wilson speaking, but from my perspective, you know, the more we're out in the community, specifically areas of the country that don't see, you know, a lot of individuals, you know, in uniform or, you know, associated with the military, being able to talk and, you know, have that dialogue and to be a friendly encounter, or, you know, other times we have opportunities, you know, to get up and speak in front of large audiences. I would like to go back, you know, a moment and just kind of clarify a little bit with the vetting. So, you know, our office doesn't, there's no kind of checklist. There's no kind of, you know, process that we go to or go through to say, this is a, you know, 10 star rating. I mean, there's no, you know, TripAdvisor stuff going on,
right?
You know, 5-star to 1-star. You know, but what we do, and what, you know, what I specifically do is I talk about the organizations that I'm familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I can and I absolutely talk about, you know, the Warrior Retreat and what I know of it. One from having a conversation with you, one from visiting the facilities and the team, and then, you know, obviously, you know, information that's available to research. I mean, for us, there's not an actual vetting process, but it's more of individuals, you know, or influencers that we work with daily, and then you know, the organizations. And I don't want to say affiliated with, because we're not affiliated with anybody, but organizations that we have been involved with.
Yeah, so there's some degree of interaction there. It's not just somebody in the program sitting at a computer and compiling lists of possible resources and then offering those
that's
out.
Right.
So
that's right.
Yeah, just
you're right.
I get what you're saying is that it's not like TripAdvisor. It's not a vetting process. I used the wrong word, vetting. I'm sorry about that.
No, I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
I didn't want the lawyers after.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, for sure. Before we wrap up here, I really appreciate you taking the time to explain the program, because I think it's immensely valuable. I think the more you can get out and talk to
the public and let people know what the Army and what life in the Army is all about, and how, you know, like you say, you're a soldier for life. I can't see how the Army doesn't benefit from that, for sure. But I also think it helps with retention as well. When soldiers find out about benefits that they might not even had considered as far as educational, certainly from a health well-being standpoint, employment comes later on. Yeah, I just think it's a wonderful, wonderful program. So what's the one thing you would like our listeners to know about life in the Army?
One thing that it's greater than I could, you know, ever imagine. It's hard to pinpoint when you say, like, you know, the one thing, right? Like, what's your one favorite foodie? I think I'd go back to, you know, a previous comment where it's the people. For me, mm-hmm. it's the relationships that I've built. So, I mean, I have relationships, you know, back 25 years with individuals. And then, you know, obviously, you know, traveling to different duty stations and locations and, mm-hmm. you know, being, you know, with people in extremely serious moments, but then also, you know, jovial moments and, you know, someone's life. And then, you know, the idea that, I have a group of, you know, friends in the military that I may not talk to them, you know, but once a year, you know, once every couple of years, but that camaraderie and that bond, you know, that is built. It's, you know, we pick up exactly, you know, where we left off. You know, we talk about family and, you know, where we're at in life. And then, of course, I mean, I'm going to sound like the old guy in the room, but, you know, we tell stories about something funny that happened or, you know, how bad the food was.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to dig at you, Larry. I know you're an excellent cook. Yeah, but it's that bond and the shared experience, you know, that with individuals. For me, that's what it is.
I think that's true of most service members. I know it's true for myself. I talk to people that I served with 40 years ago all the time. And it's actually something that it's hard to explain to people who have never been in the military.
That's right.
And it's sometimes even hard to understand yourself, what it is, but it is one of the things that you get from service for your country that's unexpected, but really often, like you say, the best part of service. It really is. So I agree with you 100%. I know it is for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I go back home, you know, to where I graduated high school, and I talk about Billy Mack or a Whoopi, my buddies have no idea, you know, what that is. But, you know, if I talk that, you know, with someone I served with 25 years ago, you know, there's probably a story behind it. And then if I can add one more thing, if we're not, you know, not too far over on time.
No.
So it's definitely the people. But one thing that caught me by surprise and that I wasn't aware of, it's the opportunities. And you talked about, you know, this the retention piece, you know, sessions and recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I joined the reserves in 1994, I joined to be, you know, an 88 Mike, a truck driver. And that's what I was going to do.
Mm.
I had no idea of the world and the opportunities that, you know, we're gonna open up to me, you know, from enlisted to commission,
mm-hmm.
bachelor's to master's, just life skills, you know, being a leader, being around creative and innovative, you know, thinkers. Realistically, if somebody wants to join the Army today, yes, they can, you know, go infantry, aviation, you know, I mean, you name the branch, or you name over 100, I think it's like 150, you know, MOSs.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, like, if you want higher education, you want to go, you know, there's programs that are very well known, you know, institutions for, you know, advanced degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You can join the Army to be an athlete, right? The world class athlete program. And this, you know, we talk about this quite a bit, and people are like, I had no idea that I could, you know, be in the band or become a dentist or, you know, cybersecurity or like whatever it is.
Yeah.
But that's our job, one, within this program, but then two, I would say, you know, in the larger Army and military community is, you know, when we have the opportunities, you know, to be able to just present that message and, you know, things that individuals, you know, may not be aware of. I mean, we talk quite a bit about, hey, you know, you're able to travel the world and do this. And
yeah,
that's great. And I've been in some places that I would have never gone to, you know, on my own.
Right.
But there's so much more. So just kind of round out the question. One, it's the people, and two, it's the opportunities that are afforded to you.
Yeah. And there certainly is in all branches of the service, there's tremendous opportunities that will give you skills that you'll use all your life. And very, very often skills that you will make a lot of money with, especially in some of the specialized positions in intelligence and satellites and cybersecurity and things like that. So, yeah, if anybody's listening and they're thinking about what to do with their life, think about the military and think about the Army and go to the Soldier for Life webpage, which is, it is soldierforlife.army.mil, and you'll see all the resources, and it's a great webpage, a lot there for you. Find out what these programs are all about and how they can help you. Colonel, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, and for our listeners, we'll have another episode that will drop next Monday at 5 a.m. If you're an early riser and you don't have anything to do other than wake up at 5 and listen to podcasts, well, there'll be one waiting for you. Thanks. Take care.
The Welcome Home Podcast is brought to you by Willing Warriors, a nonprofit organization serving active duty service members and veterans since 2012. To learn more, please visit our webpage at willingwarriors.org.